Hare Krishna. We'll read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 9, text number 13. This chapter is entitled as the most confidential knowledge. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakriti mashita bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. Translation. O Sanaprita, those who are not deluded, great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. And how is this effected? It is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at one becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of great soul, Mahatma. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapada Kamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaurvani Pracharane Nirvisheshunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Pancha Kalpataru Vishakrupa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So tomorrow is the auspicious appearance of Mother Sita, which is explained in Sri Valmiki Ramayana. When we try to understand our scriptures, Gita, Ramayana, Bhagavat, they have to deal with three things. They deal with three things. They are very entertaining. Therefore, we see all the children in the beginning, if they are exposed to Ramayana, Mahabharata, they like the character of Hanumanji, Bhim, Arjun, Krishna, because it is very entertaining. In the preliminary stage, for the children, it is very entertaining, but along with that, it is enlightening also. Usually, when we read or hear or see something, it may be entertaining, but not necessarily enlightening. It is not even constructive. It is very destructive also, most of the time. But here Ramayana, it is very entertaining. Therefore, even though after millions of years, even if you say 5,000 years, that people still, thousands of people all over, they study Ramayana. We were recently in one school in London. Very interesting. Almost all are British people, but in their curriculum, when they study Sanskrit, they study Ramayana, Mahabharata and Bhagavat. Unfortunately, in Indian school, you don't study them. And they are very interested in studying it. We spoke to the student. So if they are exposed, they like it, because they are very entertaining and very enlightening also. not only entertaining and enlightening, it should be implementable in our day-to-day life. And that's how the scriptures are presented. They're not simply stories. Behind the story, there is a depth of knowledge. And the deep knowledge is not confusing. It is not like some difficult mathematical problem. It's very, can be applied. So therefore, just like in Ramayana, when Valmiki was compiling, you know, unfortunately there is such vast depth of knowledge, and even each text of Ramayana can give us great lesson. For example, when Valmiki was compiling Ramayana, he approached Narad Muni, he asked this question, that my dear teacher, who is there in this world who has got this, he mentioned 16 qualities. Dharmagya, Kritagya, Satyavan, Satyasankalpa. And he explained that, is there anyone like this? And Narad Muni, he explained Ramayana in synopsis to Valmiki. Within 100 or 200 verses. And Valmiki was very much enlightened by that. And he went to take his bath, his noonday bath, in one of the rivers, Tamasa River. And when he was approaching the river, when he entered inside the river, he was very fascinated by the atmosphere. The river was very clean, the birds were chirping. It was basically a nice atmosphere. And he was glorifying the atmosphere by telling his student, Bharadraj Rishi, just see, the water is also so clean. And he said, my dear Bharadaraj, the water of this river is as clean as the mind of the saint. Nowadays the river is also bad and the mind of everybody, including the some called so-called saint, is dirty. So mind is, he said, the river is as clean as the mind of the saint. And he saw a crouncher bird. Crouncher is crane, basically. And long, big crouncher bird was mating. And Valmiki Maharshi said, just see how God has placed affection in all the living entities. He did not see it as something bad. He saw something good. That the Lord has given this. And as he was appreciating the beauty of the river, the cleanliness of the river, the beauty of the surrounding, and how Lord has given affection to all the living entities, one hunter from nowhere, he shot his arrow and brought down the head of the male bird. As the male bird lost its head, the blood spilled everywhere, and the female bird was making big sounds, screaming, shouting in agony. And this entire episode suddenly changed the mood of the heart or the mood of great sage Valmiki Maharshi. And instantly cursed. Compassion leads to anger towards those who cause violence. He cursed this bird, this hunter. Now very interestingly, Valmiki Maharshi, just to explain how it is scientific also, that he addressed these birds as pati and patni, bharya. Bharya means wife. Pati means husband. Now you don't see, you know, they are duly married according to the rituals of whether Vedic religion or Christianity or Islam. The birds, mating birds, you can't call them wife and husband. But specifically Narad Muni uses this word, Valmiki Maharshi, husband and wife. Why? Because it is explained, this crouncher bird, actually I went and googled to see, is it a true story or not. Because the crouncher bird, the female bird especially, that once she comes in contact with one male bird, for the rest of her life she continues to stay loyal to him. So there is a loyalty also amongst the birds. So therefore, killing that male bird, he made this female bird helpless and shelterless. She was loyal and chaste. This word is used in Ramayana. And modern, you know, the people who study the birds, they talk about it. So how can somebody say that Ramayana is a mythology? In the very beginning only there is such deep knowledge. Like again, when Kaikeyi tried to banish Ram, she banished Ram. Ram had to go to the forest for 14 years. When her son got to know about this, when he came back to Ayodhya, he saw his father is dead. And his very dear brother has been banished to forest for 14 years by his very mother. And he becomes very angry. Bharat, he says, you never understood me. Even though I am your son, but you misunderstood me. And he makes one very important point to his mother. He said, how can you not understand? You come from the land. She is from Kaikeyi, Kekai Desh. From the Kekai country where peacocks are in large number. And if you see the peacocks, the male peacocks, the oldest peacock always has the crown on the head. Other peacocks don't have it. You can go and see the birds. Other peacocks, if they are born from the same family, they don't get crown on the head. Only the oldest peacock gets the crown. So he was telling his mother, you could have seen the peacocks in your country. Only the oldest son becomes the king. Not only Ram is qualified, he is also oldest. So by law he has to be older son. He has to be the king. So these kind of scientific, very, they are not given much emphasis, but they are there. Nowadays in India there is talk about how, you know, there was no such person as Ramayana. There is no such thing as bridge. There is no such thing as Ayodhya. It is all fiction. And so-called intellectual Hindus talk about it. The problem is not outsiders. The problem is the insiders only, you know. And therefore in the textbook also they write mythology, fiction that never existed. Again, if you study in Ramayana, there is a description of the city of Ayodhya. You know how Ayodhya was built. Ayodhya is on the bank of Sarayu River. And basically Ayodhya, the town of Ayodhya, the river is on the higher level and city is on the lower level. If you go and study carefully, that description is there. And if you read Valmiki Ramayana, there is the exact description. How Ayodhya was built and how Ayodhya is placed geographically also. So how can one who has not read properly has the guts and arrogance to say, oh, all this is myth. Their statement is myth. They go on in the name of qualified people, you know, and speak anything and everything, reading here and there from some atheistic people. And that is very destructive. Therefore everything in Ramayana, the whole concept of the stories has got great deep meaning, but we need time and energy to understand and hear. Otherwise we will not be able to understand. In India, people will make cricket their religion, Sachin as their god. There was a hoarding. You know, in Mumbai, I come from Mumbai, during one World Cup there was a hoarding, many hoarding, saying that cricket is our religion and Sachin is our god. They will give him Bharat Ratna, but Valmiki will never get Bharat Ratna. There is no memorial for Valmiki Maharshi. There is no memorial for Vyasdev. They never get Jnanapit award. So unfortunate. And what a compilation. You know, every verse of Valmiki Maharshi, even curse which is spoken in anger towards that hunter, was so beautiful in meter. And he was surprised, how is that this verse came from my mouth? When he was going back to his ashram, thinking, why did I curse? I should have not cursed. After all, he's a hunter. I was a hunter before. I should have not cursed. When he came back to his ashram, Brahmaji came down asking, hey, my dear Valmiki, did you see my wife here? He said, no, your wife did not come. He said, no, she came in your tongue. Saraswati came in your tongue in the form of that curse. He said, it is not curse, it is not shoka, it is shloka, and you compile Ramayana in this chandas, in the Sanskrit grammatical meter. And Brahmaji said, as long as the mountains will be there, as long as the rivers will be there, as long as the sun will shine, as long as the moon will give their rays, Ramayana will continue to stay. Indians may forget Ramayana, but the Japanese are remembering. The Indonesians are remembering. And I got to go to Cambodia. And every evening for the tourists there, you know, the Koreans come, the Japanese come, the Chinese come. Every evening, the Cambodian government, even though it's a Buddhist government, every evening for the tourists there is a Ramayana show from the government. So if the Indians forget, the Americans will take it, the British will take it. Then maybe when it's come back from Britain, made in Britain, then they might accept it. No? That was our, you know, psychology also. I was telling, I went to visit this St. James school. I was telling the principal, you should open school in Mumbai. If you bring Ramayana, they will say, oh, it has come from Britain, must be good. So therefore, in regards to Sita, you know, Sita's connection with Lord Ram is also so deep. The whole concept of Ramayana is very beautiful. When Lord Ram was born, now we'll immediately go to Sita Ram's marriage. When Ram was born, you don't see childhood pastimes of Lord Ram in Ramayana, because that character itself is very sober, no naughtiness. Krishna is very naughty, and it is required because the yuga changed. So Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, they spend a lot of time narrating Krishna's childhood pastime. But in Ramayana, you don't find any childhood pastimes of Ram. Ram is born and suddenly there is a discussion going on between Dasharath Maharaj and his ministers about arranging Ram's marriage. They are discussing on their own, how do we find a girl for Ram? And meanwhile, Vishwamitra Muni, the great sage, you know, these some sages, they come without inviting. Suddenly appears and he comes to the gate of Ayodhya and he tells the gatekeeper that I want to go and meet Dasharath Maharaj. Immediately call him and tell him that Vishwamitra Muni has come. So the gatekeeper go and talk to the king. Dasharath Maharaj comes running out and he says, I can do anything you want. Whatever you ask from me, I'm willing to give you. So it is explained, a king should never make such promise. Unless you know you can fulfill, never make such promise. But he already made the promise. Then Vishwamitra Muni told Dasharath Maharaj, I want your son. I want to take him to this Siddhashram where there are so many demons and they cause a lot of trouble. I want to take him so that he can fight them. He can challenge them. Dasharath Maharaj said, that is not possible. He said, my child, I love him more than my life. I cannot do that. Vishwamitra Muni said, what? You promised me just few minutes before and now you are taking back the promise? He said, okay, then you live happily. That is a sarcastic word. Live happily. So Vasishtha Maharshi told his king, no, you have to fulfill the promise. Ram is qualified. Nothing will happen to Ram. Send Ram. So Ram goes along with Lakshman. Nobody asked Lakshman to go, but Lakshman went. He follows Ram. Now they explain, you know, Pan Supari, betel nut and leaves. Along with leaf, you also give Supari. You don't have to say separately. So Ram is there, Lakshman also goes. He's like a Supari along with the Pan. So they came to the forest and they killed the demon, but that was not the main issue. Killing demons was not the main issue. What Vishwamitra Muni wanted, that he wanted to take Ram to Janak Maharaj's place. He knew about this bow, which was lying for so many years, and nobody was willing to lift. Nobody was able to lift it. Nobody was capable to lift it. And Janak Maharaj had made this, it is called as Virya Shulka. In Vedic system, there are different kinds of marriages. Even about marriage, there is a science. Marriage is not ordinary. There are different kinds of marriage. So this marriage is called as Virya Shulka. Virya Shulka means anyone who can lift that bow, he is qualified to marry Sita. And many tried and nobody could lift it. So Janak Maharaj was kind of despondent. You know, my daughter is growing and nobody is able to lift this bow. Therefore, Vishwamitra Muni brought Lord Ram after destroying all the demons. They came to Janak Maharaj's place. And when Ram saw the bow for a Kshatriya like Lord Ram, you know, naturally bows and arrows and different kinds of weapons, they attract their heart. Depending upon what is your background, if children like bat, even if they come to temple like in India sometime, I remember during 1983, when India won the World Cup, in all the Ganesh festival, Ganesh was carrying Prudential World Cup. He was holding bat. I saw, actually I went to one place in Bangalore with another devotee, and the family were artistic people, and they were showing their art, their artwork. And the father said, "Just see my artwork." And there was Kapileshwar Ganapati, he was bawling. So unfortunately, you know, imagination can go to any extent. Right. Why? Because they have that inclination. They see those things there. So for Ram, bow and arrows, they make sense. Why they make sense? Because that's what his background is. He had come to protect. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. To annihilate the miscreants and to re-establish religion. So when Vishwamitra Muni brought Lord Ram close, because Ram got the name from Vashishta, and Vishwamitra Muni was thinking, this Ram alone, Ram is good, but if I can add Sita to it, it will become more sweeter. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains the concept of concerthood to God. One may sound, you know, how can God have wife? How can God have concert? The problem is, if God doesn't have a concert, the whole concept of mercy is removed. There is Shakti and Shaktiman. Shakti is the energy of the Lord. You know, he cannot have Shakti. He cannot be Shaktiman without the Shakti. Energetic and energy. Srila Prabhupada explains, God has multifarious energies. He is called as Shaktiman. If you take out Shakti from God, then he is not Shaktiman. Dhanavan. There is no dhan only, what kind of dhanwan is he? If somebody called as a rich man, he needs to have wealth. So similarly, if God is full of energy, then he has to exhibit his energy. And he exhibits his energy. And one of the most important energy of the Lord is his pleasure potency, which is called as Radharani, Lakshmi or Mother Sita. So he wanted to add that name, Sita, so that combination, Sitaram, 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 becomes better. So when he brought Lord Ram, Ram said, "Can I see that bow?" "Yeah," he said, "you can see the bow." Janak Maharaj thought, you know, so many people came and is a mere child. How can he lift this bow? He said, "Seeing is no problem." Then he said, "Can I touch it?" Vishwamitra Muni asked Janak Maharaj, "Can he touch the bow?" "Oh yes, he can touch." Then Ram touched the bow. Then Ram asked, "Can I lift it?" That was very fascinating to Janak Maharaj. Janak Maharaj talks about his bow. So many people came trying to lift this bow. Nobody has tried. You can try. So as easily as a mere child lifts the mushroom. So Lord Ram lifted the bow and he broke into two parts and it made a huge sound. And everybody fainted except Janak Maharaj, Mother Sita, Lord Ram and Vishwamitra Muni and Lakshman. The sound was very terrific. So when he broke the bow, Janak Maharaj became so happy. He wanted to offer Mother Sita. He said, "Take my daughter, she is my daughter, you accept her." Now this is very interesting, and this part of the story is spoken by Mother Sita personally to Anusya, Sati Anusya and Chitrakut. She narrates the story of her marriage. So Ram said, "I only came to break the bow. I didn't come to marry." They said, "Marriage decision will be taken by my father." He said, "I don't decide." So Janak Maharaj was very despondent. You know, this is a bigger problem now. that the bow is already broken. So anybody who breaks the bow, he has to marry her. But when he has broken the bow, he has the liberty not to marry also. Right, sometime one may say, you know, they say that ordinary person may say, I want to marry the princess. And 50% it's already done. Why? Because I have decided. No, you may have decided that you want to marry, but what about the other side? That is the most important 50%. So similarly, Janak Maharaj had agreed to give someone who breaks the bow. Ram said, I don't decide. The decision will be made by my father. There is an interesting concept also. Marriage is not about two people coming together. Marriage is about two families coming together. Therefore, vivaha means vishishta rupena vahan. It's a different vehicle which carries families together. Therefore, the whole concept of marriage in the Vedic India, the girls had greater responsibility because they had to leave one family and come to another family. It's not easy. Boys don't have to go through that. So therefore, it is very difficult. But because they would play that role of sacrifice, they had the power to unite two families. And there is another Vedantic point of view also. When Lord Ram broke this bow, whose bow was this? This bow was Shivaji's bow, Lord Shiva's bow. What does Lord Shiva represent? Lord Shiva represents the destructive energy. And there was also another great personality who was the Shaktavesh Avatar, the empowered incarnation of Lord Vishnu. His name was Parshuram. And Parshuram was going around. And what was he doing? He was killing the Kshatriyas. He went around 21 times. Without any discrimination, good and bad, all are bad. He was killing. That is good in one sense because he was taking away all the miscreants. Just like if you have bad building. And every time, you know, from that building, you know, one brick falls, one wall falls. And people are getting harmed by that building. Then the municipal might come and they remove the building. If they take on many buildings, it is good to take on the building, but you have to create facility for others to live. Destruction is not the goal of life. Construction is the goal of life. Punishment, you know, the punishment is required, unfortunately, in this world. But punishment is not the goal. Punishment is simply a facility to recreate. If the punishment is not facilitating recreation, then punishment has no value. And if you study carefully, Krishna, whenever he punishes, his reward is greater than the punishment. Therefore, it is explained that if you cannot reward someone higher than your punishment, you have no right to punish. Therefore, Prabhupada explains God's punishment or God's reward is absolute. Because even in killing, there is a liberation. He liberates the living entities. He gives the higher realm. He killed Kamsa. Kamsa was sent back to Vaikuntha planet. Putana was killed for her wrongdoings. She had to suffer because of her mistakes. It was not easy. When Krishna was sucking her milk as a baby boy, not only was sucking the milk, he sucked her life air also. As he was sucking life air, it was not fun. She was not laughing and giggling. She was screaming. Right. So she was punished. But because the punishment came from Krishna, when she died, she achieved the position of the mother of Krishna. She became nurse of Krishna. Mahabharata explains when Krishna was going back to Godhead, he called for his mother. He remembered his mother. When he remembered his mother, three mothers came. Yashoda, Devaki and Putana also. Just see. That is the way how Lord punishes. So, this Shiva Dhanush was there. And what is the nature of Shiva Dhanush? It is a destructive one. And Parshurama was also doing the same thing. He was killing all the Kshatriyas, bad people. But there was no construction. Society cannot be constructed by destruction. Destruction is required only to recreate. So Lord Ram had to come. He broke the bow, Shiva Dhanush, which was meant for destruction. And then he took his own bow, Kodanda Ram. And the construction begins with this marriage. Mother Sita, if you study our Vedic literature, Lord represents the power of justice. And Lord's consort, Lakshmi, Sita, Radharani, they represent the concept of mercy. So when there is a combination of mercy and justice, then things function properly. If it is only punishment, one cannot survive. If there is only mercy, one takes it for granted. Just see how Vedanta is so deep. If you try to be merciful, it is like giving too many chocolates. Right? People get pampered and they destroy their health. And if you give only punishment all the time, you know, always scare them. Nowadays you can't do that also. Only give chocolates. Right? So when there is a combination of these two, so our Lord represents discipline and Sita represents mercy. So therefore bringing them together gives rise to new creation, which Lord Rama was supposed to perform. So they brought them together. Vishwamitra Muni brought them together. Of course, the message was sent to Dasharatha Maharaj. And Dasharatha Maharaj came along with his minister. And what do they do first thing? The first thing they discuss about their family. What is their family? What was the background? Dasharatha Maharaj talks about his family. What kind of family he had? Ambarish Maharaj, the great devotee. Bhagirath Maharaj, who brought Mother Ganga to this material world. It was a family affair. If you study the story of Mother Ganga coming to this world, you know, some 60,000 sons of Sagar Maharaj, you know, they offended one great sage, Kapil Muni, and they were burned to death, and they were not liberated. Liberating our forefathers is one of the very important duty for family members. When Shahjahan was kidnapped, he was imprisoned by Aurangzeb. No, he was imprisoned and he was not allowed to see anything. His Taj Mahal. And eventually, Aurangzeb stopped Jamuna's water also. He was not getting Jamuna's water also. So, Shahjahan wrote a poem. It's in a Persian language. He wrote this poem. He said to his son, "My dear son," he said, "these Hindus, at even after their father is dead, they give water. And I'm a living father, you stopped giving me water from Jamuna." That poem is there, you can see that poem. So giving that facility for the forefathers is a very important principle. So this Ganga, you know, when these children were killed, then Sagar Maharaj had to bring Mother Ganga, because he was told, unless Mother Ganga comes, your children will not be delivered. He died, his son Dilip died, his son Anshuman died, then Bhagirath came. After three generations also, they didn't stop the responsibility of delivering their forefathers. See, when you come from a cultured background, then you can be protected, either from the previous generation and for the future generation also. And Bhagirath performed tapasya for so long and Ganga was agreed to come. Ganga said, "I'm willing to come, but who will hold my power? Who has the power to hold me? If I come, I may go down and never come up." So again he had to perform tapasya to please Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva could create, you know, that controlling power. So Mother Ganga came down. It was only a simply family affair to deliver their own family. Ganga came. Just see how much benefit she is causing. Even we get benefited by taking bath in Ganga. Even if you don't believe about liberation, about mukti, just sit on the bank of Ganga and see the difference. There is a difference between an artificial lake or a nice swimming pool and sitting next to Ganga. You can feel the vibration. Thousands and thousands of people for thousands of years have sat on the bank of Ganga. They have performed tapasya. It is emanating from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. It is certainly at the power to give us the spiritual vibration. It all happened because one family affair. Right? So he spoke about his family. And then Janak Maharaj was also no less. He talked about his family. Now, Sita is called as Vaidehi. Vaidehi means one who has no deha. One who doesn't have a material body. Why Vaidehi? Because Janak Maharaj's forefathers, Nimi Maharaj, he was a great devotee of the Lord and he was performing one yajna. And one of the priests, he said, I will come. Because he had to go to heavenly planets to perform yajna, and there was greater remuneration. Sometime it happens. Wherever there is greater dakshina, you wait, make some others wait. So he made Nimi Maharaj wait, and he went to heavenly planets to perform this puja. And long time he did not come back. And Nimi Maharaj is waiting. You know, I have to perform this puja and he has not come. He called for somebody, some other priest, and completed the yajna, and meanwhile the priest came. And the priest cursed Nimi to die. So he also counter cursed, and Nimi was brought back to life. Nimi said, I don't want to come back to this world. It is my good fortune that I've been cursed to die. I don't want to come back to this body again. You know, why should I come back? But the problem was they had to have a king. So they churned his body. They had a method of churning. And churning his body, there was original Janak came. Now Janak is a title, just like people have surname. Janak is not the name, Janak is the title. The many Janak, and Sita's father is named as Siradhwaja Janak. Then he talked about his family. So after knowing that both of their families are very good, then they agreed to marry. Just see. So therefore, marriage of Sitaram is the beginning of creation. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha dushkritam. And Vishwamitra Muni therefore is called Vishwamitra. Why is Vishwamitra? Because he brought Mother Sita and Lord Ram together. Therefore is friend of the entire universe. And afterwards you don't see Vishwamitra Muni at all. He doesn't come back. So Sita and Ram are brought together and they become Sita Ram. Meanwhile, Parshuram, when he heard the sound of this bow being broken, of course there is one interesting story which is mentioned, which is not there in Ramayana, but very sweet one, which is part of the Siddhanta. When Sita wanted to offer garland to Lord Ram, Sita was short and Ram was tall. She was not able to reach. And Kshatriya spirit is that you can't bow down. You have to be head held high. So she was not able to reach. Very embarrassing situation. What to do now? She can't climb a ladder, right? So then what happened? Lakshman came there. What Lakshman did? He bowed down to Ram. Suddenly, when you bow down to some superior, what happens? They also bow down to lift you. As Ram bowed down to lift Lakshman, Mother Sita could offer the garland. So you need a middleman also. You can't marry on your own. You need a people to help you. So Lakshman is that agent, serving both of them. So their marriage took place. As they were going back, Parshuramji came there. He challenged Lord Ram. And Lord Ram defeated him easily. That means his time of destructive energy is over. Now the constructive energy starts. And therefore, if you study carefully in Ramayana, wherever there was Sita, like there is a story which happened in Chitrakoot, when they were staying together in Chitrakoot, one demon, he was not demon actually, son of Indra, named Jayant, he assumed the form of crow. And Lord Ram was resting on the lap of Mother Sita, and this crow came and started pecking, the chest of Mother Sita. She tried to chase him away, but he would not, because he's not an ordinary crow. And Sita didn't want to wake up Lord Ram, but she had to. Eventually, when she woke up, when Lord Ram saw that Sita is bleeding, he became so angry, he took ordinary grass. He can empower anything. He took ordinary grass. He was so angry with that bird. He took that grass and he empowered with Brahmastra. And he released it on the crow. As he released that Brahmastra on the crow, this Jayanta, his name was Jayanti, realized, now I can't save myself. He started running everywhere. He came to Indra also. Indra said, I can't save you. Go away from here immediately. Along with you, I'll also be killed. So he went everywhere, but nobody could save him. So ultimately he came back running. When he came down, he was so exhausted, he could not even reach Lord Ram's feet. He fell far away. And Sita went and dragged him and put him at the feet of Lord Ram. So it is explained, if you carefully observe, wherever Sita was there, the demons were not killed, they were only punished. Wherever Sita was not there, the demons were destroyed. When Shurpanakha came, Sita was there. Right. She was, her nose and her ears were cut in the presence of Sita. Only that much. When Ravana was killed, Sita was not there. So if Sita is there is some chance of getting saved. If Sita is not there, there is no hope only. Therefore, Prabhupada also explains, never go to Krishna alone. If you go to Krishna alone, what does he do? He sees your qualification. And what we have qualification? No qualification. Prabhupada explains, if you go to Krishna through Radharani, it is easier to appease Radharani. Then Radharani says, this rascal is there, you take him also. Prabhupada says, and in fact she says, he is better devotee than me. If Radharani says he is better devotee than me, Krishna is so submissive to Radharani, logically it doesn't work. Nobody can be better devotee than Radharani, but Krishna accepts. So again, such a deep concept that the concert, the feminine aspect of God represents mercy. Therefore, in the Vedic concept, as I was discussing before, you know, there is mercy and there is justice. If there is only punishment, if there is a male God who is always has a thunderbolt, punishing rod, it is very fearful. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our great acharya, explains, people approach God with four principles. Fear. The first principle is fear. Second is reward. Third is duty. And fourth is love. When we approach God out of fear, if I don't go to the temple, pata nahi kya karega, maar dega mujhe. Many times people say, go to the temple. If you go to the temple, you will go to hell. People create fear in the heart of people. You have to go to the temple, otherwise this will happen, that will happen. No, this is not the nature of God. God doesn't harm anybody. Sometimes people ask this question, why someone who does not come to the temple, someone does not worship God, he is more prosperous? That story is there. One man, you know, he was lost in the wilderness and he was looking for some shelter, and he saw one person's home and he came to his place. And this man invited him inside because he was a theist, and started feeding him. While feeding, he asked him, what do you think about God? Let us discuss about God. The stranger, he was so angry. He said, God? I don't care for God. There is no God. He was defying. He was blaspheming God. This man said, don't do like this. I'm a theist. I worship God. You can't seek. You can't speak all this blasphemy. But he kept on speaking. Ultimately, this man became so angry, the host. He grabbed his collar and he threw him out of the home. And the host heard the sound from God. He said, I am feeding millions of such people and you can't feed one person. So sometimes God feeds the atheist more than the theist. Because the theist are his own family members. They are supposed to understand. They need to experience the mercy of God. Right. So therefore we see this concept that if there is a combination, like the Janastan, the 14,000 demons, when they came, Ram told Sita to stay inside. So Sita did not see. All the 14,000 Rakshasas were killed in the absence of Sita. They were all killed. Every story, wherever there is Sita, there is some chance of mercy. Wherever there is no Sita, there is no mercy. Therefore, Lord Ram is always worshipped. Such a beautiful deities of Sitaram, Lakshman, and their Hanuman is also there. And we will discuss tomorrow morning. You know, Prabhupada explains the duty of people like Hanumanji. You know, the bad work of Ravan-like people is to separate Sita from Ram. They create trouble for everybody. And those who are followers of Hanuman, what do? They try to bring Mother Sita and Ram together. So therefore, philosophically also, when we understand, we don't separate God, we don't create, oh, there is a female God, there is a male God. Sometimes there is an argument also, why God should be only male? Others may say, why God only should be female? But our scripture says, God You know, is God when he is connected with his female potency also. Shakti and Shaktiman, when they are together, then it is a complete picture. And that is the Vedanta philosophy. And this is how Sitaram came together. And when we worship them together, chanting their name, Sitaram, or the best mantra which Lord Chaitanya gave, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the Hare is the energy of the Lord. And Krishna is the energetic. So we have the combined force. When we chant their name, we experience auspiciousness in this life, and we experience liberation after quitting this material body. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand Ki. Shri Gaur Nitai Ki. Gaur Premanande.